I must have been particularly ancient-looking that day. That day on the bus. When this young lady saw me, she smiled at me. And I thought, that's nice. Still life left in the old dog yet. But then she hopped up sprightly and...
Excuse me, sir. Would you like to take my seat?
In my head, I was saying, ah, no, you can fuck off with yourself. I'm not that old. But of course, I politely declined with all the forced grace I could muster.
I'm fine, thank you, love. I'm okay standing.
Now, you'd think the silly bitch would leave it at that, wouldn't you? But no. She starts insisting, as if there's a priest beside me giving me my bloody last rites. Again, I calmly tell the young lady.
I'm fine, thank you. I'm all right to stand. Thank you. I'm only going up the road. Thank you.
But by this stage, the whole bus is looking at me. The girl is standing there looking like a complete gobshite. So eventually, for her sake, I give in. I take the bloody seat, say thank you again, and watch how she and the whole bus breathe a nice, happy sigh of relief. As if to say, phew, I thought we'd one of those owl loonies on our hands there. And that was the first day I realized I'm no longer considered one of the fully abled of society. I am now one of those geriatrics that get free public travel, like a nice sucky sweet, and switches the channels with a tut when a sex scene comes on. A coffin dodger, an oxygen thief, a dribbling, wheezing old codger with nothing left of my life, only decline. If only they knew where I used to be. I was a champion footballer, fullback, hands that could pull clouds from the heavens, legs that could kickstart a combine harvester. A great dancer I was, too. Not Irish fucking dancing now. I'm talking rock and roll, swing. I'd have two lassies twirling under each arm at a time, and a third kicking out Charleston style in front of me. And that's not counting the queue of them lining up behind me. And now, in the eyes of the public, I'm not fit to stand on my own two feet. What I'd give to be young again.
Every Thursday night, myself and the girls would go on the rip. And this Thursday was no different from any other. We'd scull a bottle of wine each, down to the beer hunter for the €5 cocktails between 10 and 11, into the club before 12 for free. We hit the dance floor and let the night and drink and drugs take hold of us, losing ourselves, losing our dignity, our worries, our abilities to control our jaws. Fuck it. The nightclub for a couple of hours is our temple. We worship the music by dancing. It was soulful, spiritual, exhilarating. The best nights of my life. All that partying. Feeling invincible. I don't know what it is about pills, but when I'd be out of it, I'd love to just climb things. Ladders, scaffolding. But one of those nights, on the way home from a club in Galway, I saw one of those big telephone pylons. There was a ladder attached to it. So like a red rag to a bull, I was up. Me mates all egging me on.
Come on, Jill, go on, you nutter!
There I was, racing up the pylon, the crowd beneath me getting more distant. I turned to see how far I'd got. I remember losing my grip. Air rushing into my face, and then... the weirdest thing. I saw myself on the ground way below. Saw myself lying face up with all my friends clamoring around. Then the ambulance men putting me on a stretcher. I started shouting at them, "Hey! What are you doing? I'm here! Hey! Girls! Louise! Lauren! That's not me. I'm here. They just put me into the ambulance. I didn't know whether I was dead or paralyzed. I didn't even know which I wanted. To die young or to live. Live the rest of my life trapped in a wheelchair. I came through in the hospital. No feeling in my legs, but alive. And I always wonder to this day, that very moment when I was looking down at myself, outside my body, did I make this choice?
Hello, I'm Ibek. And it will be no surprise when I tell you I'm not Irish. I come here 7 years ago from Poland with my beautiful girlfriend, Monica. She was just 19 and I was just 31. I was graphic designer and we come to Ireland thinking the streets will be paved in gold. And it was, in many ways. Many jobs, many money. But I am graphic designer who could not speak good English. I could not read or write or use computer, so cannot work as designer, but I work on building site with rest of Polish and Lithuanian and Latvian. Some Irish and building think we are all from same country. One guy called us all Borat.
Hey you, Borat. Tell Otto Borat and scaffolding to come down here and help those two Otto Borats over there to load blocks.
But it was okay. I really like Ireland, the people, the churches, the countryside. I like the fact that you eat breakfast rolls. A full breakfast with bacon and egg and sausage and everything in one baguette. Amazing. And I like that if you are late for work, you can say I was stuck behind tractor and everything is okay. I live in nice house. I send money home to family. I buy car. It is all good. My girlfriend get a job in hotel. And we are happy. At start, we are happy. My girlfriend make new friends, and she go out a lot with new friends, drinking a lot, go to nightclub all weekend. I say to her, stop drinking so much. But she said to me, it is normal. Irish girls drink a lot. I need to make friends. I say nothing. I work, and she work, and she party. And drink, and drink, and I complain. She's still young, so I feel bad, arguing all the time. Her Irish friends don't like me. I try and be nice. I pick them up and drive them home from club. Sometime they come back to our house and drink more. Always drinking.
What's the story with your boyfriend, Monica?
Does he not go out or drink or what?
Sorry to tell you, babes, but your Polish boyfriend's a bit of a bollocks.
Yeah. He's a fucking dry arse.
I did not know what this bollocks means, so I asked the Irish guy at work who called me Borat what it is. He had a lot of joy when telling me what bollocks is. Me and Monica's whole relationship got worse and worse. Then, one night, when she was very drunk, she started screaming at me that I am stopping her from having a life. What life, I say? A life piecing everything away? She had a crazy look in her eye and she picked up a bottle and threw it at me. I tell her she is crazy and she whispered very quiet for me to get out of her life. I pack my bag and leave. Leave the love of my life, our new life together in Ireland, the Isle of Opportunity, in pieces like broken bottle on floor.
Old age does strange things. I find myself listening to the death notices now with a pen and paper in my hand. Like they're announcing the bloody lottery numbers. The funeral parlor is becoming a weekly outing now. Most of them I knew in my early years. But sure, you wouldn't like if no one came to see you off. That's the way I look at it. So I go anyway, making them look more popular dead than they probably were alive. Once I went to a funeral of a lad who was in my class at school, and there wasn't a sinner at it. It was strange, all right. Not even family. I found out later why. The man was a pedophile. Jesus, I felt like the right gobshite I did. But, sure, I prayed for him anyway. The other thing I've become, or should I say apparently am, is racist. I don't know how this started, but apparently I am. Well, if you go by the news and people getting in trouble with certain comments about coloured people, well, going by that, I'm a racist. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't wish any bad feeling on any person, whether they're a foreigner from Eastern Europe, a coloured, or even a Monaghan man. I'm just not going to fucking change my vocabulary at this stage of my life. You wouldn't see me getting wound up if a Yank called me a Mick. Old age has given me the joys of arthritis, a lovely sting when passing water, and thankfully, and I mean this when I say thankfully, the long-awaited extinction of the want for... How should I say this? Well... sex. Old age slows you down. You count your blessings. You're grateful to be healthy. Well, healthy-ish. Especially when every second ad on the telly is something to do with vitamins, cholesterol, mental health, or bloody life insurance. A few months back, though, something happened to me that, well, changed things for me. Made me feel helpless. I was doing a bit of work around the house. I wanted to clean up the guttering, so I propped the ladder up against the wall. As I made my way up, I felt these pains. My legs were heavy, and it was nothing I hadn't felt before, but it was the first time the pain, and I suppose you could say age, stopped me. Crippled me. I've spent my whole life running up and down ladders, and here I was now at my own home, unable to do a meaningless odd job. I never felt so useless, knowing I can't do that one easy task. Simply because I'm too old.
Appearances can be deceiving, especially when you're in a wheelchair. When I turned up in the college bar in a wheelchair, well, that certainly caused a reaction. I used to get guys looking down my top, checking out my arse. I'd hear them whisper disgusting things to their mates when I'd walk by. I'd bang that or love to bury me balls in your one. But none of that anymore, unfortunately. No vulgar, sexist remarks about how they would like to have sex with me. No. Now all I get are looks of pity. Pity. The worst emotion anyone can feel for you. I'd rather be hated than pitied. At least hate shows they have some sort of respect for you. It's not their fault. Nobody can help how they feel. It just hurts more than anything when I meet people I used to have the crack with. They look at me now like I've transformed into a different species. As if I don't like a crude joke anymore. Don't want to get off my head anymore. Don't want to fall in love and have a family anymore. Don't want to fuck anymore. No, I can't dance the night away. Or climb pylons. or even walk. But I wish people didn't view me as if I'm completely helpless.
When I became unemployed, I did not want to go to Dole. I had worked for many years and I had entitlement to social welfare. I built up stamps. But I did not come here to live on government payments. I come here to work. All building sites were closing down. Everybody was out of work, Irish and Polish. Somebody once said to me, "You foreigners coming over here taking our jobs." But it did not matter because everybody had jobs, if you want a job. Now, I was afraid of people saying, "I come over here to take your welfare." It was not my fault the economy stopped. I tried to get more work first. Bad jobs. Jobs no Irish person would want. I picked mushrooms. But the money was terrible and long hours. I work at night as bouncer in local club. I hated that. There were some Irish bouncers who seemed more interested in beating up paying customers than keeping peace. All the young people very drunk. Beautiful girls getting sick on themselves. Young men fighting with their friends. I thought to myself, why do so many people pay many money to act so stupid? One night, I try help girl who cannot stand. When I go to help, I see it is Monica. An Irish boy tell me to go away. It is his girlfriend. I want to hit him and bring Monica home, but she turns to me, eyes crazy, and spit on me. I don't know if she knew that it was me. Part of me hopes she did, and part of me hopes she didn't. I stopped working there after that. I apply for jobs in Lidl and McDonald's. Jobs that no Irish person do before, but now all Irish people work there with university education. I put up posters in service stations and shops looking for work. Handyman, laborer, even cleaner. I also get land of grass cutter, lawnmower from a friend. I go from house to house and neighborhood asking if they want garden cut. But they tell me a 14-year-old Lithuanian boy called Darius already have neighborhood grass cutting franchise. So eventually I go to social welfare. I get my money every week now, and it is plenty for me as I have no family. It is sometimes difficult being a foreign person working here. But believe me, it is even worse being a foreigner on Dole here. But the worst thing for me is everybody leaving. Thousands are leaving month by month. The newspapers say 1,300 Polish people are leaving every month. I know many Irish people are leaving, but all Polish go now. They cannot afford to live in Ireland with no job. Many go home to Poland. They think they have more opportunity of job there now. Some go to England. All people leaving. My friends go one by one. I now live with people I do not know in a country I do not know anymore. Now there is only one church in the region which say mass in Polish. I start to think of leaving, but one day I get phone call from old man, old angry man, wanting me to work on his house.
To clear my bloody gutter.
He tells me.
There's only so many bloody crosswords a man can do. Daytime TV you can endure. Post-funeral vallivants I can stomach. But the thing I miss the most is company. Having people around me. I used to look forward to the few pints in the town once a week. But now you can't drive anywhere with drink on you. I haven't had one accident in all my life, with drink on me or without. And even if I did have someone to chauffeur me around, I'd be the only one in the pub, apart from the foreign girl serving me. So the roads are safer now, huh? Safe from pensioners like me going 20 miles an hour on their tractors pissed on a couple of pints. The one bloody social outlet I had, a couple of jars in the pub of an afternoon after I pick up the pension, is gone. The only time I see the lads from the pub now is either at the odd match or lying in a coffin in the funeral parlour. My wife is gone. God rest her. To think I romantically got down on one knee and proposed to her. Would you like to be buried with my people? It was a joke at the time, but now she actually is. I visit the grave every week, hoping there's some weeds to pull or bird shit to clean off the headstone. Something to do. My only son is now in Australia. He immigrated last year, along with every other scald under 30. Gone to the other side of the world, just like I did 40 years ago. Off to New York I went, to make my fortune, the land of opportunity, the streets paved in gold. And these big hands worked hard, built skyscrapers, wrestled cargo on the docks, sank bourbon backed with beer, and fought like a true drunk Mick in the bars. And now, it's all happening again. Although I imagine those thick Aussies pack a heftier punch than the Yanks. The dumb fuckers would want to have something going for them. He calls me once a week. Every time he complains that I'm not on this Skype or Skype thing and then I'm costing him a bloody fortune. He bought me a computer the last time he was home. He may as well have bought me a pair of fucking roller skates for all the use it's going to be. Centuries upon centuries, humanity has coped and communicated with the use of ink and paper. And now we're all supposed to give all that up to make some four-eyed Yank billions. Because, why? It's easier. It isn't at all. More accessible. What's wrong with the bloody phone? He knows I can't read or write, but he insists it's not difficult. Once someone shows, easy, he says. I've never seen anything more complicated in all my life. I can barely work a remote control, not to mind a bloody computer. And who's going to show me anyway? Am I coincidentally out every time the computer fairy comes to the door to show me how to work the damn thing? The last visit I got was from a councillor canvassing for votes a while back. I brought him in and made the Egypt tea. I was that glad to see anyone. And him a Fianna Fáil bollocks too. And if that doesn't show how lonely I am, I don't know what does. And then, a couple of months ago, something extraordinary happened. The phone rang, and I thought it was going to be one of those Indians asking, do I own a computer? So I answered it gruffly. What do you want now? I told you. And at the other end was the sweetest, most angelic voice I'd ever heard, wishing me a good morning.
To be honest, I wouldn't be all that pushed in going to Oz anyway. I don't think some of my mates are either. But they've no choice, I suppose. Sure, I'm sorted here on disability benefit. Quite the catch I am. Catch? I don't think I've even got as much as a glorified glance off a man. Never mind anything else. This might seem crude to you because I'm in a wheelchair, but I'm still a young woman. I'm only 23. Since I've been 14, I've been turning boys down. picking and choosing I was. If I had known then how things would turn out, I would have had them all. Even the spotty ones. Just because I'm disabled doesn't mean I suddenly want to become a nun. My cousin set me up on a date once, a blind date. Asked her, does he know? Does he know I'm in a wheelchair? Yeah, he does, she said. And he doesn't mind. No, she said. I don't think I was ever so excited in my life. I got a new dress, my hair, all my hair done, eyebrows, nails, even my toenails done. I go to the restaurant, only to find my blind date is also in a feckin' wheelchair. God, it was awful. The only thing we had in common was the fact we were both service users. I tried to lighten the mood by asking him what his favourite parking spot was. I couldn't believe my cousin did that, penning us together like we're all part of the one disabled tribe. I go to the Irish Wheelchair Association Centre once a week. I get picked up in a bus and dropped home after. And I look forward to it every week. I don't have a lot in common with the folk out there either, but it's something for me, for all of us. We play different games like Monopoly and Pontoon. We talk, and everyone is so nice. A woman came in to do a play with us. We all contributed to the script. I wrote a sex scene, but it didn't make the final draft. But it was great to have something to look forward to. Just something. What I wouldn't give to have a job. Not for the money. Just to feel some bloody use to society. At least I don't have a mortgage and a family to feed. But God, I'd like to contribute in some way. I'd even do it for free. I've applied for hundreds of jobs, but why would they take me on when there are thousands of able-bodied people out there looking for the same jobs? I'll let you in a little secret. I did have a job, I suppose, for a few weeks. I was one of those sexy single Irish girls on 1550 69 69 69, just waiting for your call. It paid all right, I tell you. And I was one of their top earners. The thing some perverse would say. I doubt they would have gotten so horny if they knew what was on the other end of the phone. I gave it up. I mean, it's hardly a career worth pursuing now, is it? I've started doing some volunteer work with this Good Morning programme run by Positive Age, where you ring old people living on their own and chat to them. I didn't tell the HSC about my previous teleservices experience, mind you. So once a week I call up these wonderful old dears, and I like it. We talk about the weather, of course. I hear all about their little bits of news. I hear about their families. Leg ulcers is another popular topic. And there's one contrary old man I've grown pretty fond of, called Matty.
Matty definitely got his money's worth out of me. He had me cleaning the guttering, clearing out the shed, cleaning and sweeping, and washing the walls of his filthy shed, then moving all the stuff back into shed. He thought it was very funny my name is Edek. He said to me,
"Hey, Dick, I've another job over here for you."
He'd hobble round on his stick, giving orders. Then when the phone rang in his house, he turned, and I am not kidding with you, he ran into house with his walking stick left lying in yard. I carry on working and hear laughing from the house. After some time, he come out and call me into his house.
Hey, Big Dick, get in here. There's lunch for you.
You know, Matty, in Poland, it is bad luck to whistle inside the house.
I'm old, you see. So remind me again. What country are we in?
Ireland, Matty.
Not Poland?
No.
Hmm. Here, eat this. We'll make you work harder.
Thank you.
You know, I used to work on the buildings in New York for years. Worked with lots of Polacks like you. The Polacks and the Mix. Hard workers. Tough oars. We could outdrink them, though. Except with vodka. I think we got an easier time of it over there from the Yanks. The language barrier was an issue. I remember I was given the important job of getting everyone's sandwiches in the deli. I came back and I handed out their orders, and this crazy Polak threw his roll at me. I messed up his order. I obviously misinterpreted what he said. He wanted a ham and cheese roll. I got him jam and cheese. He was not best pleased. Crazy Polak.
You know, Matty, it is not okay to call us Polish Polaks now.
Is it not?
No.
Do you want to get paid?
Yes, of course.
Well, then I will call you what I pretty well like. Polak. I've met this girl. This woman. Her name is Jill. Well, when I say met, I mean she rings me every week, and she... She's been ringing me for over a month now, and...
Matty, has she asked you for your account details?
No, she has not.
Well, why is this woman ringing you to talk?
Shh. Shut up. Is it too inconceivable in today's society to ring somebody just to talk?
Well, I just...
That was a rhetorical question. Now, finish up. There's a lot more jobs to be done before you go.
After lunch, he pay me. Good money. And then when I get into my car, he follow me out.
Hey, Dick. I've another job for you, if you're interested.
Yeah, sure.
I want you to drive me to a party. A Christmas party. Next Friday. Jill's going to be there. I'm meeting her.
Okay, I will bring you, no problem.
Good. Now pick me up here at 2:30 p.m. sharp. Make sure you and the car are somewhat presentable. And you better not be late. Otherwise, I'll report you to immigration. Now, good luck.
I take off wondering who this Jill is and why I would like such a man.
All these weeks chatting to her has given me a new lease of life. Sort of inspired me. I'm under no illusion now. The girl is young enough to be my daughter, or maybe even my granddaughter. But the beauty in her voice, the youth, the energy, is kind of contagious. She rings me up as part of a good morning program for isolated, lonely old flicks like myself. The only problem is most of the people calling to cheer me up are just as lonely and pathetic as me. But Jill is like a jewel in a coal bunker. And she didn't just talk to me about the weather. I told her I couldn't read or write. But she told me of the Adult Learning Center where I could do a course. I didn't think they'd have a course for people like me at our age. I might learn to skip or Skype yet. But when she told me about the Christmas party and meeting up and putting a face to that glorious voice, I was like a kid again. The party now was to be on in the afternoon in Castle Manor Nursing Home. Not exactly the Waldorf Astoria, but I was still going to have a few drinks and enjoy myself. I asked the Polak, Hey Dick, to drive me. My chauffeur for the afternoon.
Poor Matty was all excited about the Christmas party. It wasn't exactly going to be a rave now. Some sandwiches, the odd bottle of stout. I suppose you could say I started to get a bit excited myself too. It's not like I was going to be larging it up at many other Christmas dues. I bought him a present, used the excuse to get my hair done. That afternoon, I arrived early, took my place at one of the tables and waited. I told him I'd be wearing a red top so he'd recognise me. Not that many others in the room would have a mass of curly blonde hair, but he wanted to be sure.
Matty made me stop at the chemist for him to buy condoms. He came back out laughing at me for believing him. He bought perfume as a present for this Jill. It was like he was going on his first date.
She's going to be wearing a red blouse, so keep an eye out for her.
We entered the hall and some men were playing music who seemed as old as the people they were entertaining. Old people were dancing and there was food on the tables.
There she is.
Where?
Over there, in the red blouse. Even I can see her and I'm half blind.
But there is only a young woman over there. It cannot...
That's her, the agabshite.
I could not believe it. This beautiful young woman. This was Jill. The girl who would ring this crazy old man every week. Make him laugh, make him sing. She was sitting by the window and this girl was smiling with big blue eyes in the direction of us. Matty told me I could go now and he'd ring me later. I said I'd like to meet Jill first.
Matty was so cute in his suit and he brought me a present. I gave him his and I swear he blushed. There was a man with him. He seemed to just keep standing there staring at me.
I couldn't keep my eyes off her. She was even more beautiful up close.
The Polak hung around us like a bad smell. Eventually, when I realized he wouldn't fuck off, I introduced him. This is my chauffeur. His name is Hey Dick.
I was intrigued to know what sort of person would want to help out Matty. As adorable as he is on the phone, I could imagine him being hard work to be around. I asked him to join us. He had these kind eyes, and I liked his Eastern European accent. Matty made a joke about his name. And I actually laughed out loud. He must have thought I was so rude.
Her laugh was like an angel singing at heaven's gate.
All of a sudden, I'm the spare fucking wheel. This was no love triangle. Me sitting there watching them ogle at each other. You'd swear they never got out. I grabbed a bottle of stout and went off to chat to some of the nurses.
The music was very bad, but the old people were dancing and enjoying it, and I don't know... I thought, why not? So I asked her. Hey, Jill, I was wondering, would you like to dance?
My blood froze. He hadn't seen the wheelchair from behind the table. I knew this was probably the end of what it was. It may not sound like much, but to me it was something. Just talking to an attractive man who didn't look at me with pity, who you could tell fancied me. But I had to come to an end. I'm sorry, Hey Dick. I can't.
Oh, it's okay. I understand. I just thought maybe with everyone else dancing, maybe it would be fun.
No, you don't understand. I'd love to dance with you, but you haven't seen the chair I'm sitting in. I waited to see the sparkle vanish from his eyes, the lust deflate from his body, his eyes of pity thrown in my direction like phlegm.
I saw something had gone wrong, so I intervened. I kissed Jill goodbye on the cheek and told her I was tired, which I was, and told the Polak it was time to go.
The old man interrupted us. Just when I wanted to tell Jill that I did not care about the wheelchair, that she was the most beautiful person I ever met in Ireland. But all I could do, because this old bollocks was between us, was ask her...
For my number? I gave it, of course. Despite the fact I know he has never any intention of ringing me. And that was that. They walked out the door and I stayed put. As always, until someone helped me leave.
A couple of weeks later on Christmas Day, as I sat down in front of the telly to eat my Christmas feast of a ham and cheese sandwich and a mince pie, I heard a car pull up in the yard outside. I looked out the window to see the Polak helping somebody out of the car and into a wheelchair.
Jill was holding a big food hamper. Ida closed the car doors and they were laughing about something. Then he knelt down and kissed her. They seemed so happy. And they were the first visitors I've